go get him, Bear. Morning again, everybody. I'm going to be reading from Matt 1 to 16. Please stand with me as we read the word. Yeah, 1 to 6. Okay. The genealogy of Jesus Christ. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah and his brothers. Judah begat Perez, Zariah, and by Tamar. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begat Obed by Ruth. Obed begat Jesse. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you give us each and every day. Be with Pastor Nelson as he fills us with your word, and we thank him for everything. Amen.
Thanks, brother. So I can feel the apprehension in the air. You're all thinking we're going to geek out on a genealogy this morning, right? And there is a few of us that would be excited about that. You're grabbing your notepads and your pens. This is the last sermon Sunday in the book of Ruth. And some of you are glad about that. You know, we've lingered here for 10 weeks, and you're ready for something new. Let's change the venue. I understand that. And there's some of you that are probably a little sad because the book of Ruth was so practical and so relevant, and it offered hope in some really discouraging situations, and that's been encouraging to you, and so you're a little sad. I'm kind of in that camp. I've thoroughly enjoyed this series. But this morning, we're going to wrap it out. Now, next week, we're going to the book of Jude. And so I would encourage you, as we did when we started the book of Ruth, to pick up your Bibles this week and read the book of Jude. It's 25 verses. In fact, it's a really light assignment. Maybe you could do it once a day. It'll only take a couple minutes. But I would encourage you to invest in that way going forward. We have a 5-week series on the book of Jude. So this morning, the genealogy. Why are we... And by the way, Jim, thanks for reading that. Not a typical text to read before a sermon. But the truth is, we're going to focus on the genealogy just enough because we see that it's Ruth's legacy. Now, when we think of legacy today and people that have left a legacy in our world, we may think of Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa spent her entire life working in Calcutta, India, among the poor and the destitute, the lepers, the people that were dying. It was her legacy. She received a Nobel Peace Prize. Or you may think of Martin Luther King Jr., the American Baptist minister who was a nonviolent activist and led the civil rights movement in our own country. He delivered his I Have a Dream speech in 1963. He was also awarded a Nobel Peace Prize. Or you may think of Billy Graham. Billy Graham revolutionized modern evangelism in America and around the world through his crusades, his stadium crusades, and through media, reached millions of people with the gospel. His son Franklin and Samaritan's Purse continues influencing and impacting lives today. Or if you're a baseball fan, you may think of Babe Ruth or Jackie Robinson. Both men changed the game of baseball for all time. Or maybe you would name your mom or your dad as the person who left the biggest legacy in your life. As I spend the final days with my mom, by her bedside, holding her hand, looking in her eyes, precious conversations, I remind her of the legacy that she has left to me and to my family. A legacy of simple faith, faithfulness to God, to her husband, and to her family. The truth is that everyone will leave a legacy when we are gone. That legacy will either be positive and uplifting and inspirational to the people around us, or it will have an undesirable and unwanted influence and impact on our circle. We have no way of knowing how much our legacy will impact future generations. Many of the aforementioned examples had no idea how they would impact society and their families. But the truth is that the legacy we leave for the future is determined by the way we live our lives today. You see, when we talk about legacy, it's easy to think of it as something that comes at the end of life. But in reality, legacy is created by an ongoing process shaped by daily decisions and choices. Indeed, legacy is not just about what you leave behind. It's also about the impact you make while you're alive. And so the question is, do we leave a legacy or do we live a legacy? Billy Graham was quoted as saying once, "The greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or other material things accumulated in your lifetime, but rather a legacy of character and faith." Another anonymous quote says it this way, "What you leave as a legacy is not what is etched in stone monuments, but what is woven into the lives of others." What these quotes confirm is that we leave a legacy by living a legacy. What legacy are you living? What legacy am I living? What was Ruth's legacy? Well, the genealogy in the last four verses of Ruth mirror the genealogy that Jim read for us in Matthew 1. Ruth would become the great-grandmother of King David. God included Ruth in the most important genealogy of all time. Ruth plays a crucial role in the establishment of the Davidic dynasty. This lineage eventually leads to the birth of Christ, making her a key figure in God's redemptive plan for all of humanity. How's that for a legacy? The idea that a Gentile woman could be part of God's redemptive plan emphasizes the inclusion that God's grace allowed, how he works through unexpected people and circumstances to accomplish his purposes. Ruth gives testimony to the fact that you do not need to be born in royalty to live a royal legacy. Consider this. The genealogy in Matthew 1 spans 2,000 years and leads to God's only Son, the Savior of the world. This genealogy cites 42 men, each of which represent a generation. And in it, God chooses to mention five women. one of which was Ruth. Do you think God was pleased with Ruth? How is it possible that God included Ruth in this genealogy? How did Ruth live her legacy so effectively as a poor alien widow that she was able to leave a legacy that impacted the world? Did Ruth know that she would become the great-grandmother of David and be in the lineage of Jesus? Is that what motivated her godly character and choices? Certainly not. But instead, Ruth chose every day to live her legacy in humility, in obedience and faithfulness, in following the God of Israel. I believe there are at least three ways that Ruth lived her legacy so she could leave her improbable legacy. The first is that Ruth lived with radical devotion. Radical devotion is an unconditional, single-minded commitment to a spiritual path, a belief system, or a person. Ruth was radically devoted to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and to God. This radical devotion often is characterized by a willingness to sacrifice, to go against societal norms, and integrate one's faith into every aspect of their lives. It goes beyond passive belief. It demands bold action, deep transformation, and a complete surrender to the principles or divine being of their devotion. Ruth's words, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God," expressed this radical devotion. And we see this radical devotion throughout the entire story, as she demonstrates her obedience and submission to godly counsel, to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and to Boaz, both of whom represented the God of Israel. She says in chapter 3, verse 5, to her mother-in-law, "I will do whatever you say." Radical devotion. It's also demonstrated by kindness. In Ruth 1:8, Naomi says, "May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me." Ruth showed kindness. She was devoted to her mother-in-law. She was devoted to living a godly life. She was kind in all that she did. We also see a thankful spirit in Ruth 2:13, when she's communicating with Boaz after he's given her this large gift of grain. She says, "You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to me." She acknowledges Boaz's generosity. She's thankful. And also, this radical devotion is demonstrated by her respect. Respect to Boaz, when she bowed to him, acknowledging his position and authority. Ruth demonstrated this radical devotion with a singleness of mind and purpose to honor her mother-in-law and to follow Jehovah, trusting that he would carry her through. I believe that one reason that Ruth was able to leave a royal legacy was because she lived with radical devotion. Secondly, Ruth lived her legacy by demonstrating persistent self-sacrifice. Now, persistent self-sacrifice is a call to a life of daily, selfless devotion, rooted in love and obedience to God. It is patterned after Jesus Christ, who offered himself as an ultimate sacrifice. And it's motivated by a heart that's transformed by love. Not once does Ruth promote herself or demand her rights. Ruth's primary focus was to care for and serve her mother-in-law, not once complaining or seeking recognition. Again, this self-sacrifice is seen throughout the book as she chooses to be Naomi's companion. we saw early on in the story where Ruth returned with Naomi. Verse 22 says that Naomi returned from Moab accompanied by Ruth. Later on in chapter 2, it says that Ruth lived with her mother-in-law. Now, if any of you have cared for an elderly parent, you know that's a commitment. You sacrifice your own personal agenda to care for your aging parents. That's what Ruth chose to do in being Naomi's companion. She also demonstrated this self-sacrifice by a caring and generous spirit. We see in chapter 2, verse 18, where Boaz gifted her with extra grain and gave her more than she could eat. And, you know, Ruth could have started thinking, well, I need to put some money in my savings account. I need to start storing things up for my needs. But no, her self-sacrificing spirit took over. Her care and her love and concern for her mother-in-law had her bring all that gift back and give it to Naomi. Caring and generous spirit. Also coming through in this self-sacrifice was her humility, her willingness to take on a menial task, a job reserved for the poverty-stricken, for the homeless. And she picked up grain, one kernel at a time. Humility, not demanding a management job, but doing the menial. We also see in chapter 3, verse 9, where she humbles herself, crawls onto the threshing floor, and asks a favor, asks Boaz to save her, to marry her. How many of us hesitate to ask a friend or neighbor to help us on a project because we're too proud? We want to do it ourselves. Ruth's willingness to consistently sacrifice herself throughout the story is rooted in her love for Naomi and her God. And while her persistent self-sacrifice is inspiring, the most profound way, I believe, that she lived her legacy was through her courageous faith. Courageous faith is the kind of faith that moves forward even when the outcome is unclear and the path is difficult. It is a trust so strong that it overcomes fear. This was Ruth. Her courageous faith was on display in this entire story. From my perspective, Ruth could have been nominated into the Hall of Faith along with Noah and Abraham and Isaac in Hebrews 11. I would love to interview Ruth. And the first question I would ask her is, how did you come across this courageous faith? There are many people in our world today that struggle with faith. It seems I have these conversations on a regular basis. One of these conversations was with Larry, a new resident at St. Anne's. Just several weeks ago, Kim and I were visiting my mom at St. Anne's, and as we entered in the main entrance, it was a beautiful Sunday evening. There was a row of residents lined up there, and I kind of chided them and says, "Wow, it looks like you're getting ready for a party." And they said, "Yeah, if you bring the ice cream." And so after we visited my mom and we left, they were still sitting there. And I looked at Kim and Kim looked at me and we shook our heads. And 10 minutes later, we come back with a tub of Turkey Hill ice cream with the necessary tools and instruments. But unfortunately, they had all left in that 10 minutes. And there was one lone man there. His name was Larry. And as I dipped him his ice cream, we got into a lengthy conversation. And it didn't take long to figure out that Larry struggled with faith. One of his statements, he said, "No one has ever seen God, right?" Well, Larry's not alone in this struggle. The truth is, if we were honest, we've all wondered sometimes about our faith. Oh, that we would possess the courageous faith of Ruth. The faith that allows us to press into the future, not knowing the outcome, but completely trusting our loving God. I believe Ruth's courageous faith was a key component as to why she left such an incredible legacy. Because Ruth lived her legacy with a radical devotion, a persistent self-sacrifice, and a courageous faith, God was able to write her into the story of his redemptive plan for humanity. What a legacy. In conclusion, the term legacy gets loosely used in our world, particularly in the sports world, in discussing how great athletes will be remembered when they retire. When a famous NBA player wins a second championship, we say he's added to his legacy. Or when a former NFL star gets arrested, we lament that he has tarnished his legacy. In this sense, legacies are quite fickle. But thousands of years from now, will anyone really care about those things? Doubtful. Ruth's legacy, however, has spanned centuries. God used a childless, widowed, wandering Moabitess to bring forth Israel's greatest human king, and eventually the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Talk about a lasting legacy. But I believe that's how legacies are. The greatest legacies are often come from those who seek the Lord in humility. Through Naomi, Ruth met the one true God of Israel, and her life changed forever. But for a while, life was precarious. She was a stranger in a foreign land, trying to survive. When things really looked bleak, someone sacrificially purchased her redemption. And through this redemption, Ruth was saved and found a permanent home. Is this not our story? Things once looked bleak. We were dead in our sins, bowing like an ancient Moabitess to false gods, idols of self and pleasure and worldly riches. Then someone intervened on the threshing floor of our lives. He planted faith and winnowed away the chaff of pride and disbelief. He purchased our redemption at a great cost, pouring out his blood. Through his sacrifice, the Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ, saved us for an eternal home. Our great grandchildren might not become famous, and our legacy, our genealogy, may never be immortalized. But with the time given you and me in our life, our lives can still point to the transforming power of the great Redeemer. That alone would be quite a legacy, right? What legacy are you leaving? What legacy are you living? The way you and I build our legacy for the future is to begin to live our legacy today. So this morning, let the story of Ruth remind us that a lasting and meaningful legacy is not measured by earthly accomplishments, but by a life of faithfulness to God that influences and blesses future generations. I pray this is your legacy and my legacy. Amen. Worship team, you may come forward.